Welcome on board a daily adventure to discover true wisdom, authentic hope, a stronger faith, and profound joy. This is the Debbie Chavez Show.
Debbie Chavez Show.
You're the shining star, no matter who you are. Shine bright to see, but you can truly be, but you can truly be.
Welcome, friends and neighbors. It is wonderful to be back together again as we journey through this life together toward hope, wisdom, and joy. Now, coming up in just a moment, we'll be joined by a couple of different ladies, both of them mothers, who will have some inspiration for overwhelmed moms and some practical tips and advice for stressed out mothers across America. So you don't want to go away if you're a mom listening or even maybe a concerned dad out there, concerned about your wife. Go ahead and tune in as well and you can eavesdrop on our conversation. That's coming up in just a moment. Well, time now to welcome to the program newspaper columnist and speaker Deborah Cody. Hi there, Deborah.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I am just marvelous. You are a mother, as I am a mother, and you've written a delightful new book called Mom Needs Chocolate. I love that title.
That's right.
I love the title of that book. Just kind of sums it all up some days, doesn't it?
It does, indeed.
Yeah. Well, you have raised your kids successfully, right? They're older now, correct?
Yes, I have a 26-year-old and a 24-year-old now.
Okay. Well, you start out your book by talking about the fact that you've discovered that God has a sense of humor, an amazing sense of humor, you say. So give us an example of God's amazing sense of humor as you were raising your children and I'm sure sometimes feeling, well, maybe just a bit stressed out.
Well, I have been just so blessed with crazy. I enjoyed listening to your wacky stories there. I have some crazy stories that have happened to me as during my course of motherhood.
Yes.
But, you know, I think the main theme of my book is that in the midst of the muck and the mire of motherhood, when we just get so just drowning in it, that we can find that joy of the Lord, that we have unfortunately checked out on the doorstep because we have so many other things that take our attention and our energies that we're not able to remember and to reconnect with that joy of the Lord. And that's my theme, that mom needs chocolate in the same way that we need that chocolate fix. We need that that comfort that we get from that wonderful creamy delicious stuff. You know, we can get that from Papa God if we just think to turn to him for that.
Yeah, and we have to. I mean, let's face it, raising little kids is especially if you're working outside the home as well, and I'm not diminishing what, you know, stay-at-home moms do, but if you're trying to balance, you know, an outside career and raising kids, and then you've got a husband you need to make sure you're, you know, sewing into the marriage relationship, I mean, that's a lot of stress, and who wouldn't be overwhelmed by all of that?
Oh, absolutely. I remember very vividly a day when my kids were little and I was standing at the front door with my sister as she was leaving. My arms were full of laundry. The dog was scratching at my leg to go out. One of my 5-year-old was screaming bloody murder because of a broken toy. And I remember looking at my sister and saying, "Where's the joy? Where did the joy go? What happened? I don't even remember the last time I laughed." And, you know, she understood because she was there too.
Yeah.
And that was why I wrote Mom Needs Chocolate, just to give women a glimmer of hope, of light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go through a couple of your stories and maybe the lesson that you learned. Because, you know, through all these hardships and challenges and frustrations and such that we call motherhood, there are usually little nuggets that we can pull out of any circumstance and say, okay, thank you for teaching me that lesson, Lord. And you tell one story that I did have to chuckle about your son, kind of losing track of your son while you were shopping for some new clothes. Can you tell us of that story and maybe what you learned at the end of all that?
Well, sure. He was a very young at the time. He was under 2, and we were at the mall, and I was a kind of a Kmart shopper back then, and pretty much still am. But we went into this exclusive women's shop. I was looking for a specific blouse, I remember, to go with a certain outfit, and I ventured in there on a whim. I didn't usually travel in that sort of a circle, but he was in a stroller, and the little Dickens somehow managed to get out of the stroller while I was perusing blouses. And next thing I know, I'm pushing this empty stroller back and forth, And I look down, oh, he's gone. And I get on my hands and knees, and I'm crawling around looking for him. Matthew, come out, come out. And the in my story, I called her Miss Hightower. The store manager kind of glided over and with her silken voice said, Madam, may I help you, please? And I'm like crawling around with my hair hanging over my face, spitting, trying to find my son. And I right as I stood up to speak with her, we hear this burst of laughter and this big knuffle going on at the front of the store. Uh-huh. And we look over, and there's sweet little buddy Matthew has somehow made it through into the plate glass window there, the display case.
Oh, great.
And he's sitting in the lap of the mannequin with her fingers outstretched toward heaven with beautiful colored stockings attached to each finger from her fingertips all the way to the ceiling in this beautiful array. And all these people have gathered at the front of the window, that just mob are just laughing at him. And they're just totally into this.
And you're mortified.
And oh my goodness. I was waiting on the mall police to come escort me off the premises, and I couldn't reach him. Oh. And I'm like flailing around my arm through there, and Miss Hightower is just like white as a ghost, with, you know, just blanching out there. And finally, I grabbed the toe of his sneaker, and he's just laughing and having a great time with his mannequin. He's, Mommy, pretty lady, Mommy. And I'm reeling him in, inch by inch, from the toe of his sneakers, and he's pulling the mannequin with him.
Oh, great.
All the way across, and he's knocking all the other mannequins down, and they're just ping, ping, all these, they're flying off the where they had been tacked to the ceiling. The stockings are going everywhere, and I finally managed to get him out. By then, of course, he's screaming, and he's got her plastic arm with him. He hauls it right out of the window, and Miss Hightower is, like, sitting there like she's in a daze, and so I hand her this plastic appendage, and I didn't know what do you say at this point.
Right.
What can you say? So I said, I am so sorry. And I threw the poor little thing in his stroller, and I took off 1,000 miles an hour. And, you know, I started, kept looking over my shoulder, waiting on the mall police to come get me. But, you know, at that point, I was so angry with him for doing that to me.
Oh.
And for being such a bad boy. Yeah. And I just lambasted him. And I said, why would you do this to me? You are so bad. You are such a bad boy. And, you know, I could see the confusion and the hurt and the pain flash across his little face.
Mm.
And I realized what I was saying, and I stopped right there. I got down on my knees, and I looked at him face to face, and I said, honey, I'm sorry. Mommy's sorry. I was wrong. You are not a bad boy. You just do things that are naughty sometimes, just like me.
Mm.
And I remembered all the things I had done that very day that would have embarrassed my heavenly father when I had, you know, taken the dollar extra that the clerk gave me, when I cut off the driver in traffic, when I was nasty to my husband over breakfast. And I realized that just as my heavenly father forgives me, that I can forgive my son as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's how I try to take scripture and apply it to real life, the real down in the trenches, mud between our toes lives that mothers live.
Oh, boy. You give another cute little example, too, of, you know, children, they just are little Dickens. I mean, there's not just another word for it. You tell the story, I think it was your daughter sitting in church, and there was a sermon or something, and the word dust was used. Can you tell us that story where another time that you were mortified, it sounds like?
Yes.
A common theme.
Typical of what mothers endure all the time. But my little girl at that time, we went to a very small church, and we didn't have children's church. So after the kids were, you know, about 4 or 5, they went with us to church. So I had her sitting there, and I noticed that she would doodle on her bulletin or daydream. So I said, you know, you're like 7 now. You're old enough to pay attention in church. So on the way one morning to church, I gave her a little lecture on listening to the pastor.
Yes.
And we got there, and there was a visiting minister, and he was quite eloquent and quite pious. And we got to the offertory, and he lifted his arms in the air toward heaven, and he said, Lord, without you, we are but dust. And my little sweetie, who was actually paying attention, lifted up her little girl voice and piped up and said, Mommy, what is butt dust?
Don't you love it?
It was heard by one and all, and this very pious fellow's face turned purple. But it was just one of those priceless moments.
Yes. Oh, and you know, I think every mom can tell story after story. You know, I think when going back to your shopping experience, I mean, some of my worst moments were in stores. I mean, I had my child, my boy, had one of these problems with his stomach. It's called gastroesophageal reflux or something. Anyway, and so he was always spitting up until he got to be about 1 year old. And when I say spitting up, I mean like voluminous. I mean, it was a lot, always coming up, right? And I'm in this grocery store. And when he did this, it would sometimes be a bit projectile. And so I'm in this grocery store, and I'm walking down the aisle, and I'm in a really big hurry, and I, you know, need to get out of there. And this other lady is walking by my son, and so anyway, he spits up. It hits her in the back. And I didn't say anything. I was just so like,
Linda Blair, stop that.
I just didn't even know what to do. I was so embarrassed that I feel regretful to this day that, I mean, if she's listening, I'm so sorry I didn't say that you were walking around with spit up all over your back. But it was like, what are you going to do? You know, there's just no way to gracefully get out of this situation.
Oh, that's priceless. I love it.
That's just one of my stories. The other one in the shopping arena was when I was trying on clothes in a clothing store in a mall, and my son was about two maybe, and just enough that, you know, he got out of the stroller in the dressing room, and he opened the door while I wasn't looking, and there I am, you know, pretty much unclothed, and there's guys standing out there waiting for their wives to come out, and I'm like, hello. Let me just shut that door.
Oh, no.
Oh, kids just do the doggondest things, don't they?
They sure do. They indeed. Oh, my.
So if you were to leave our listeners, we're going to be chatting with another mom in just a moment. But if you were to give your one bit of advice after all of the stuff you went through raising your kids and being frustrated and overwhelmed and tired and all those things, what would your best advice be to overwhelmed young mothers out there?
Well, I would say to don't lose sight of the strength that we can draw from God, Godiva, and girlfriends.
Mm.
All three of those are essential to us making it through that motherhood journey.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to share when I speak with women's groups, and that's what I try to share in my book.
Yeah.
You know, in that order, we need God, Godiva, and girlfriends.
Godiva referring to chocolate, of course.
Oh, of course.
I don't know what it is about women and chocolate, but it really does help, doesn't it?
It does. And I, when you mentioned in your wacky stories that Cadbury's profits went up 30%, I had to giggle because that's probably due to me because I eat that much.
Oh, man. I don't know. It's an addiction.
And I do love Cadbury. Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to make a couple of copies of your book available. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Well, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. And I wanted to mention, too, I know you do some volunteer chaplain work at your county jail.
Yes.
And I as well visit regularly our county jail. And that's something that I really have been amazed at, the ministry that's important there. And I've been able to get My Mom Needs Chocolate in our county jail, which is so exciting.
Yes, that's a great idea.
You,
yeah.
So I'm hoping that through humor and through that is a socially acceptable way that you can get the gospel in and that these ladies will be able to hear more about the Lord through that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. What a great ministry. Thank you so much to Deborah Cody. And if you'd like a copy of her book, Mom Needs Chocolate, Hugs, Humor, and Hope for Surviving Motherhood, then go ahead and send an email to lynn@debbychavez.com. Lynn is spelled L-Y-N-N-E. And hopefully we can get a free copy to you while they last, whether you're listening live right now or listening later on in iTunes. Just request the book, Mom Needs Chocolate.